Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
My next guest was a two-time Canadian Football League All-Star. He started his career there and then moved on to the NFL, where he had a very productive career. Played nearly a decade of the NFL and for all of those Browns teams, making three AFC championship games. He also led the league in interceptions in 1989. Defensive back, safety, do everything for the Browns, Felix Wright. Felix, good morning. How you doing?
I am hanging in there. How are you?
Doing great, buddy. Thanks so much for joining us. This is so cool. And to go back to that season, 86... 87, you guys make the AFC Championship games, lose in heartbreaking fashion, of course, the drive and the fumble. So I'm wondering emotionally, coming out of those 2 years, going into 88, were you guys ready emotionally to take on the challenge again? Because a lot of people had predicted you guys as Super Bowl favorites going into 88.
I think so. We were a very confident football team, as you remember. And We thought that every opponent we played that we could beat them. That's just kind of the mentality that Marty Schottenheimer had built in us. It was a tough season, though. But we were able to, you know, we had a lot of adversity. Like you said, with the quarterback situation, I think we had a situation with our running back as well. And, it was a great season, but a tough season as well.
It is one of the most incredible, to me, seasons of all time for one team because of the adversity you guys faced. You come into the season as Super Bowl favorites, and in week one, within 19 minutes, your starting quarterback, Bernie Kosar, goes down. Week one, he's injured. Now he's going to be out half the season. Okay, so you already are behind the eight ball. In that game against the Chiefs in week one, you guys lose six players to injury. Five of them had made the Pro Bowl the year before. In week number one, are you looking around going, did we step on a mirror? Did we walk underneath a ladder? What the heck's going on with our luck?
Well, a lot of adversity. But like I said, we had an awesome head coach that was able to put guys in position. And one thing about our coaching staff, they always had us very prepared. When we went into a game, we knew that team liked to play our hand. And, you know, you put the next guy up, probably not as talented, but was talented enough to get the job done until we were able to get the top guys back. And actually, I don't remember the five guys that was hurt. It's been so long ago.
Yeah.
But I know that, you know, I remember when Bernie had went out, that was kind of wild. And we, you know, every quarterback that came in, you know, did a great job.
It was really incredible. I've never seen anything like it before or since. You guys lose Kosar week one. Gary Danielson's the backup. In week two, he's injured. So now you got to bring in Mike Pagel, the third string quarterback, okay? He's there until week five. He gets injured. You have to sign Don Schrock off the streets to start week six and week seven. You're on your fourth quarterback in the first 7 weeks of the season, and yet you guys remained in the playoff race. That is a testament to that defense. Your defense of that secondary was amazing. Yourself, Frank Minifield, Hanford Dixon, all those guys. It was the best secondary in football for a long time. Did you take it upon yourself when all of those injuries are happening to the quarterbacks to say, you know what, guys, this is our team. We've got to drive the bus here.
Well, defensively, we were pretty good, and we figured that if we could keep our opponent from scoring a lot of points, it was going to give our offense an opportunity to put some points on the board. You know, we were very potent, I think, at the wide receiver position with, you know, Ozzie Newsome, Webster Slaughter, Reggie Langhorne, Brian Brennan. I think those guys were able to stay healthy and be able to put some things on the board for us. And we know that if we could keep the score relatively pretty low, that we had an opportunity, and it worked out.
Felix Wright from the 1988 Browns and all of those great late 80s Browns teams joins us here on the show. You guys keep your composure. You keep winning. You're doing enough to get by. But then you get Bernie back, and it feels like, okay, now we're rolling. And now you guys go on a little bit of a win streak late in the second half of the season. And then the week before the end of the regular season, Bernie gets injured again, this time in Miami on Monday night. So now deflation again. Oh, my God, back to the drawing board here. So then you bring in the backup quarterback, Don Strock. He does a great job. He's the fourth string guy now. But it's a win and in situation in week 17, okay? Or week 16, no buys back then. So you have to beat the Oilers at home at Cleveland Municipal Stadium in a snowstorm with your fourth string quarterback. What was the experience like back in those days playing in front of the dog pound, and how emotional those fans were and how close they were because of the end zone and what it was backed up to with those stands and the fans?
You know, what I remember, you know, because, you know, on social media, you get an opportunity to see some of the people that post things. And, you know, the thing I remember about Cleveland Stadium is that the pandemonium. I remember them saying that in one of the videos, and it was just absolutely amazing. I got a couple kids, and I showed them this is what it was like when I played, and they just really can't believe it. They said, wow, people, they said all the dog masks and all the orange and brown in the stadium. And it was pandemonium, and we had a great relationship with the fans. I think back in the 80s and 90s, we were out in the public quite often, and I think that was one of the reasons why we had so much success with our fans and why everybody was so into it. One, because we won. Obviously, the bottom line is when you win, it's a little easier, you know, I just think that we were talented at all positions, and we were able to, withhold, the injuries that, was able to put us in positions to where, you know, we could hold off and wait till our guys got back.
At that time, that's a divisional game, Browns and Oilers. And so you've got to beat a divisional foe in week 16 to make the playoffs. You do with a crazy comeback down 23-7. You've got a fourth-string quarterback, Don Strock, who leads the comeback in a snowstorm at Cleveland Municipal Stadium to force a rematch the next week still at Cleveland Municipal Stadium. So that is crazy in and of itself. But also, There was a lot of bad blood. And back then, the Oilers were known as a dirty team. They played in the House of Pain. You guys had multiple brawls with them that season, including the playoff game. How much did you dislike the Oilers? It seemed like everybody hated the Oilers.
Yeah, we didn't like it. You know, we had a guy here in management in the last couple of years, Alonzo Highsmith, and we always kind of kid him about that because we always went up and rumbled with each other. But, you know, they had a very good team as well. I think they were coached at that time by Jerry Glanville, who was a special guy as well, was a good coach. But you know what? When you go up against a team like that, it's a 50-50 shot. I mean, we were able to win the week before, and it was for whatever reason we thought we had them again that second game, but it didn't work out quite so well for us. And I remember parts of that game, but they just executed, and they had an awesome quarterback too in Warren Moon. So it was funny because I faced Warren Moon up in Canada as well as down here, and I think he was probably the determining factor. That's probably why he's a Hall of Famer. He got it. He got the job done.
You guys were, you specifically, though, were great against Warren Moon. And in that game, you had two interceptions against him. Mm-hmm. And so the defense was keeping you guys in it. And then there was a really controversial play in the game. You guys are trailing in the game in the third quarter, and the Oilers are backed up on their own 10-yard line. And Warren Moon drops back to pass and throws a little out pass to Alan Pinkett. It actually drops off Pinkett. People think it's an incomplete pass. Clay Matthews picks it up, goes into the end zone from 5 yards out. Browns think it's a touchdown. Officials have to confer and go back. And the replays show it was a backwards pass. That is a lateral. That is a live ball. The refs come out and they say incomplete pass. Listen to the broadcast as Bob Trumpy is on the NBC Sports broadcast. Listen to this clip as he absolutely melts down.
It will be Houston's ball.
No. The ball is live. The whistle cannot blow. The ball is live on a backward pass. This cannot happen. There is no whistle blown.
There is no whistle blown, but they say it was, and so no touchdown for you guys. That would have put you in the lead. It's a crazy swing moment. There was a couple of calls that went against you. Do you remember that moment or just in that game feeling like the breaks were going against you guys?
Well, it was definitely a bad break. I remember that, and we were so upset. You know, we had to maintain our composure, but you know, it was a close call. But you know, the referees just got to make the correct call. And you know, back then with the instant replay, it's a lot different now. But you know, there was some controversial calls. You know, back in the day, to where you know it could have went either way. But it was tough to take. You know, it gave us a lot of momentum, and if you when you listen to that, you can just hear the crowd is so loud.
It was
really crazy.
Yeah, it really is. It was such a crazy game. There are so many penalties. There's 22 penalties in the game. You guys end up losing by a point, 24-23. So the Oilers move on. You guys go home. It's kind of a miracle you even made the playoffs with four different starting quarterbacks over the course of the season. You went 10-6. But that ends up being Marty's last game coaching you guys. Art Modell fires Marty after that game, after the season, brings in Bud Carson. What was your relationship with Marty Schottenheimer? Because, you know, through his direction, you guys had made the playoffs four straight years but couldn't quite get over the hump.
Well, my relationship with Marty was wonderful. When he came up and got me from Canada, actually the reason probably why the Browns won out was certainly because of him. He, you know, when he presented to me, you know, said that you're going to get every opportunity to get in the lineup. It doesn't matter if you're a free agent or a first rounder. He says you're going to be given an opportunity to play. And he did that. And I think he did that with all his players. I think that was the reason why we were so successful, because he always had the best player in each position, and that's how you win games. You know, and like any other business, you know, football can get a little political. You know, if you get a first rounder, second rounder, you invest a lot of money in them, they're going to play no matter what. But Marty didn't believe in that philosophy. He believed in the best player plays in that position. It didn't matter if he was a free agent or a first round guy. And I think that was, you know, and every athlete, if you ask them, I think that they will value that opinion. And as long as they're given a straight opportunity, they're going to perform for that guy. And I think that, you know, we worked hard and we played hard, and the success showed on the field.
Is your memories of three AFC championship games in 4 years, five consecutive playoff appearances with the Browns, happy memories or bittersweet because you couldn't get to that elusive Super Bowl?
Well, I thought they were great. I mean, just to have the opportunity to even be in the playoffs was great. And then to move forward, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, the playoff games with Denver is just, it was, you know, I always felt we had a better personnel and a better team, but, you know, they just had our number. So when they play those games again, I don't get upset anymore. I just like, wow, you know, we just couldn't get by those guys. And they had good squad. They had good personnel. I don't, if it's bittersweet, those are games that Cleveland will always remember. You know, we got close, but no cigar. But and going through what we've been through the last 20 years, you know, making playoffs is a luxury. So I think we're dying to get back to good sound football. Playoff football and possibly get another opportunity to make a run to the Super Bowl.
You're right about that. Felix Wright led the league in interceptions in 89, was part of all of those wonderful Browns teams of the 80s, joining us here on the show. Felix, I can't thank you enough. This was so much fun to go down memory lane with you. Thanks so much for doing it. Good luck to the Browns this year. Maybe during football season, when Browns football is back, we can have you back on to talk about it.
Hey, I appreciate it, and thanks for the invite.
My pleasure. Felix Wright joining us. True gentleman here on the DA Show, here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.